Allow me to begin with a statement of amazement and wonder, expressing my gratitude and thanksgiving for the ways in which so many of you have come to Holy Trinity, taking the highways and the byways to get here. In my sojourns recently, I was driving around the city and I was wondering, how do they do it? All those who come over from Virginia or even just nearby in Georgetown and fight through the traffic. I appreciate your commute, that so many of you for so many years have come here, not to Emmaus, but to Georgetown. Whether walking or driving, taking 395 or I-66, you've had the patience and perseverance when crossing the crowded Key Bridge or the monstrous M Street, taking that left turn on Bank Street, that gate to heaven that you take every time, and struggle to the parking at Georgetown. You set out with faith, and at times with a great deal of perseverance, but I think you get the message. Today's gospel is about sojourners and travelers, not driving, but walking 7 miles along the way. So one of the invitations, I think, my brothers and sisters in today's gospel, what were they thinking, but what were you thinking? Perhaps you came with a companion and you were talking about some issues. Or if you came alone, what were you thinking as you approached Holy Trinity tonight to listen to a gospel of two disciples moving? Maybe like them, you were talking about some of the worries or wounds, or what happened yesterday, or what's going to happen this week, planning. That's what these two disciples were thinking, but they had something more on their mind. But whatever you have been thinking, we'll come back to that. Remember those thoughts. What brought you here today? Let's notice how Luke develops this gospel. It indeed is a powerful drama. Notice the phrases that sparks a sense of pathos, a sense of feeling deep within us. Notice words like, they were sorrowful, they were upset. And notice, they began to urge Jesus. The feelings come out. And then their eyes were amazed in surprise. If any of you have seen Caravaggio's great painting of the Road to Emmaus, at the breaking of the bread, you see how he captures that powerful joy. Yes, joy. That's what they experienced. But not on the road. They were like you and I, traveling with worries or wounds or distractions. Shortly after 9/11, the trauma and the tragedy of that event, I wrote an article titled Terrorism, Trauma and Transcendence. And I saw a comparison between what those two disciples were thinking about Jerusalem and what we thought about what happened here in our city or New York or Pennsylvania or our nation or indeed our world. I thought Emmaus can open our minds that just as we were deliberating and seeking comfort and amidst that confusion that still reverberates in our world today, we could turn to Emmaus and listen to what Jesus sort of asks. What are you talking? What are you worried? Bring your worries, bring your wounds to me, and let me reinterpret them for you. Yes, that's what Jesus is saying to us tonight. How might God see our wounds and our worries, our plans, our joys, the ways in which we are sojourning in life? It is indeed a special gift that we have a gospel that travelers like ourselves are listened to by Jesus. And notice what happens as the story evolves. And so the time of this writing of Luke is about 50 years after Jesus lived, died, and was risen. So Luke is writing to the Greek community around 80 A.D., and he's just not telling the story of what happened on the road to Emmaus. He's telling what happens around the banquet table each time they gather. Notice those words that Luke uses. Jesus took, blessed, broke, and gave. it to them. It is the Eucharist. It is the Eucharist that sparks our faith and our imagination tonight. It is that same Eucharist that these magnificent seven children will receive for their very first time. And as they do, I invite you to consider the first time you received the Eucharist. And like the disciples, when they saw Jesus in the breaking of the bread, do you remember the joy of that first communion? Watch these children when they receive and experience the joy that they have, their parents, their grandparents, their friends, and even their siblings are here. This is our community of faith. The contemporary spiritual writer Ronald Rollheiser interprets the road to Emmaus as Luke portraying Jerusalem like a dream, a hope, a great vision, the kingdom God promised by Jesus. Seen in this light, Rollheiser suggests the disciples were walking away from Jerusalem, as if they were walking from that dashed dream. Their hopes and visions were crushed at Calvary. It's important, Rollheiser points out, that in the ancient Jewish world, or in that world of Palestine, Emmaus, believe it or not, was a Roman spa, like a Las Vegas or a casino. They were escaping. Their dreams have been crushed, so they're going into the human pleasures, trying to escape because they couldn't cope. It's an interesting commentary, shift in our perception. If you will, they were crucified with Christ. Their hopes were ways of saying, how do we hope when we thought he was the Messiah? But we had hope, as they said, muttering, trying to find meanings. Do we not find that at times in our lives, individually, collectively, or as we look at the world, trying to get a sense of what's going on? However, as the story goes, they never get to Emmaus, for Jesus meets them on the road, reshapes their hope, and invites them to imagine in a different way what life and what the scriptures are about. Don't we find that one of the essential messages of our Easter season is this? Whenever we are discouraged in our faith, whenever our hopes seem to be crucified, we need to go back to Jerusalem. We need to go back to that original source. If you will, we need to go back to our first communions, to those joys when we first found that deep consolation brought to us by our parents and grandparents, our ancestors in faith, that gave us the sense, yes, this communion is with Christ. Like the two disciples, we live with crucified dreams, aesthetically, romantically, ethically, and religiously. We are at times surrounded by despair, and its child, as Rollheiser says, is cynicism. But notice the change when the two disciples have their direction shifted from Emmaus to the Eucharist. Their eyes are open, and they become enthusiastic. Yes, their hearts are on fire with the enthusiasm, as the Greeks would say, that God was stirring their hearts within them. And their lives will never be the same again. And yes, they return to their dream of Jerusalem. And they believe. And they tell Peter and the rest of the disciples. And so we hear how Peter is conveying that joy in his heart, lived out in the resurrection by the first reading. I saw the Lord ever before me. This is the Peter after the Pentecost, not the confusing fishermen who we've met in the Gospels. And in the second reading, Peter again says, conduct yourselves with reverence during the time of your sojourning. Yes, Peter was like a traveler in a different age, but he is saying to us tonight in 2017, in our sojourning in history, have a sense of reverence to be open to the magic way of living, to the miracle of the Eucharist. So my brothers and sisters, each time you sojourn to this parish, around the roads, the highways, and the byways, you are invited to walk, to process up to the Eucharist. proclaiming that you believe in the dream, and that rather than escape to an Emmaus with false idols, you believe in the awakenings and the new dreams fostered by the vision that Christ offered at that table. For every time you hear and believe that Jesus took, blessed, broke, and gave, you believe in the vision of Jerusalem that Jesus spoke to those travelers. Today, we have our Magnificent Seven walking up this aisle for the first time. And today, right now, in McKenna, some 100 of our adolescents who have just had a retreat are proclaiming their faith after a wonderful way of confirming their belief in the Eucharist. These children, altogether 135, will receive First Communion in the next 6 weeks. And adolescents, more than 125. This is the faith of that early church being conveyed from one generation to the next. Their eyes are opening in their sojourns in life. So my brothers and sisters, allow me to conclude back to the bridge. When you return home, having had the experience of the Eucharist, like the two travelers, you may not have the exhilaration that they had, but notice the difference. The worries and the wounds that brought you here, Christ wants to take them. He wants to raise you up with the hope. He wants to give us all that surprising joy. Yes, that surprising joy that Jesus indeed is risen. And we experience it here in our Eucharist, in our community of faith, in our sojourns of the soul.